following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria Anzoretska, you know, though, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just, it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Wednesday. Doug Duda, Jimmy Lyon, pinch hitting today on the program, and we will also be having our Loper Link. UNK golf coach Wes Byrne is going to join us. We'll talk with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report about week three of the high school football season. And Pat Hardy of the Iowa City Press Citizen. We were going to have Drew Ott on the show this week. Then he has the scooter incident, and you know how that goes, Jimmy. I mean, when something's going on, whether the coach is protecting him or whether they elect not to go to the press conference or want to speak to the media, that's just one of the things you got to respect, which is too bad because he's coming off his best game of his college career, and that's what we wanted to focus on. Then all of a sudden, he has this accident. It doesn't sound like it's serious. Doesn't sound like he tripped over a curb, though, either. It's somewhere in the middle, and Brandon Scherff, the All-American offensive tackle, also reportedly had knee surgery yesterday, kind of a scope maybe deal. But Kirk Ferentz is one of those coaches that just really won't give you any information. Didn't acknowledge there was an accident, didn't acknowledge there was surgery, didn't acknowledge anything during his press conference yesterday. So hopefully we can find out a little more information from Pat.
Yeah, you know, Drew Ott had a tremendous game, like you said. That's what you were going to focus on. We were going to talk just about football. But hey, when other things do happen, you know, every once in a while, you know, somebody asks that question or makes a statement and they say something you didn't want them to say, and, you know, it can be misconstrued. So I can understand what he's doing. And plus, Iowa's not really playing really well right now. I mean, they're 2-0, and they're happy to be 2-0, mm-hmm. just like Nebraska's happy to be 2-0. But talking, you know, they weren't expecting to have to be a late fourth quarter touchdowns to pull out wins.
Exactly. And so we'll talk with Pat about that. That's all coming up on the Doug and Daddy Show. I want to get this out of the way, and then I probably don't even really want to discuss it anymore unless the listeners want to do so. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. That is the email. You can tweet us at ESPN1460-1550. And, of course, the fan line, Kearney Chicken Coop fan line, 888-455-3776. As I'm coming back to the studio, as I'm listening to SportsCenter, because this is a whole different issue than sports, what's going on right now with Ray Rice and the NFL and Roger Goodell. But to be calling for Roger Goodell's job because Ray Rice assaulted his wife is asinine. That's my opinion. Now, everybody else has a different opinion on that, and that's the problem, because this is a discussion that's not for sports talk radio, but it has taken over sports talk radio. It was all over the place yesterday, but now, anytime, Jimmy, that a sports story, as they say, once it becomes big and it's on all the news shows, it's on the nightly news, it's on the morning news shows, it almost ceases to be a sports story anymore. It is a news story. It is about society. This has nothing to do with football. This has nothing to do with football.
Yeah, I think it has a little bit to do with whatever the occupation is, whatever that occupation would be. So what I'm saying is, because it has to be a football player that did it, people want to make sure that there's a penalty for what he did. Just like if a police officer went too far and went over the border, you know, when he's arresting somebody, if he does something a little too far, I say, you know, that's a police officer issue. So the guy in charge has got a discipline, and they want the penalty to be correct, and they want to follow it. I mean, and there's a situation in Missouri, you know, that we're talking about, you know, right now, that's going to go on, and what's going to take place there. So I understand a little bit where it's a football issue. What I was amazed was there were some media guys, and, you know, I feel like I'm part of the media now for some reason, you know.
You are.
But I was amazed. There was a guy that was on ESPN, and you guys might know, and Jeff, you can help me with it, but he made the comment, he goes, well, I guess they should have took the stairs.
Yeah, that was a Fox News channel.
And he got in trouble, and he should have. That would have been a stupid statement. I mean, I think he missed the point, too. You know, and I had another guy when I was at the YMCA the other day. Goes, man, that was a heck of a left hook, wasn't it? And I'm thinking, there's a guy. See, these people are missing the point. You know, and so we have too many people out there in our society that are actually missing the point on this, about how bad this is, what he did, how somebody missed this. Somebody, whether it was a police officer, was it in Atlantic City? Is that where it took place?
I believe so.
Yeah, you know, with a police officer, the first guy on the somebody messed up and they didn't follow this cycle, because anybody that watched the video and would have to make a decision would, I mean, whatever that penalty is, if it's 1 to 50 years, that one's a 50-year penalty. You know, if it's 1 to 6 games, that's a 6-game penalty. That's not close. This is an automatic. And when you see the video, it'd be real easy to say, hold it, that was not an accident. That wasn't two people that just haven't got an altercation and got out of control.
It's a bad deal, no matter how you look at it. There, like I said, this story fuels debate, and I believe that's why different organizations, they can now get in the limelight and in some instances help their organizations by doing what they are doing. And I'm not even going to point out each and in every individual one, because we've already had a variety of different organizations make their statement. And they're all what you would expect, though, Jimmy. I mean, they're what you expect. If you're the National Organization for Women, you're going to stand up for the women. If you're with the Players Association, you're going to stand up for your player. If you're, you know, on and on and on down the line, I mean, there's no surprises, or it shouldn't be. And getting back to your point about, you know, the stairs and the left hook, one day I guarantee you, something happens on Saturday Night Live and it doesn't matter if it's the Ray Rice deal, because there's three or four things going on in society, but all of a sudden that's okay? I mean, that's where we're at. People can joke about it. They may not believe that. You know, they may know, but they maybe just don't know how to talk about it, deal with it, and people joke about situations that they aren't comfortable with. And whether that's right or wrong or not, there's such a fine line. And that's how, let's face it, that's how Danny Ferry's getting in trouble here, you know, with the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, there are so many things going on across the country that you've got to be 100% socially correct anymore.
Well, I think what happens here, and this is a whole different topic, but I think if you're on too far on one side of the spectrum, If you're too far, that, okay, for instance, I'll use an example of this is gun control. You know, in the United States, gun control. If somebody thinks it's okay for somebody to have, I think it's fine to have. Guy just got out of prison. Well, he's got a right to have 35 assault weapons. If you think that's okay and you're clear over on this side, or you're clear over on the other side and you can't even take your 12-year-old son out and show him how to shoot a BB gun, you know, well, that's too far on that side of it. If you're on way too side of the spectrum on that. So those people, when they pick a job to do and they decide, hey, I want to make a statement, I want to do something, what my job is to do, I'm on the National Rifles Association. Well, you know, that guy's probably going to be on that side of the spectrum. And I think that same thing's true when these women that have been abused and they say, I'm going to be in this committee. They've got to make a pretty good statement for their side. So I can understand where we have to understand who's talking here, just like somebody that's sticking up for the National Rifles Association. If that's what they do for a living, I already know which side they're going on. But at this time, I see that, you know, we got to take a step forward. You can't go back on people back in the 1960s and say, I want to arrest this guy right here because he wouldn't let this black man drink out of this fountain. I mean, hey, that was a rule they had. I mean, what a horrible rule. Let's look back at that. What a horrible thing we did in the United States at that time. But you can't go back in the 1950s and arrest all the people that made that mistake in the 1950s and the early 60s when they were doing that, and way before that, too, of course. But, hey, the people that can't understand, that are still living that way in the 1990s, yeah. Guess what? You're losing your job. You're not going to work here. We don't want you around. If you're going to talk like that still, and you think it's okay to talk like that, you're not going to have a job. If you better adjust to society, and I think that's what they're saying right now in pro football, is they're taking a stand. It just happened to be today. You know, in the civil rights movement, hey, 1968, I don't know if that's the exact movement it was. Martin Luther King, it took some time. But this issue is today. Oh. Really, it wasn't. It was 2 days ago. As soon as that film came out, it is now. Any player that thinks they're going to hit some woman, and it's a different thing in 2014 than actually what it was even in 2013. This is such a step in our society, and I'm talking about all sports, not just football. We're talking about all sports and all jobs.
And just kind of finishing off here, going back to the top where I was, Roger Goodell's, I think he admits that he made a mistake in saying, I only suspended him 2 games. So you suspend him for a year, you kick him out of the NFL. I mean, if this tape doesn't come out, people are going to be going, what? You know, I just admits to his mistake. Should that cost him his job? Should Roger Goodell really be losing his job over this? Yeah. I just think we've recently had big stories over the last couple of years where before Don Imus, but I mean, there's a variety of different people that, because the overwhelming sentiment of social media and television and radio and newspapers talks about the subject, somebody's got to be the fall guy. And
look at Jerry Sandusky. What happened at Penn State?
And everybody falls there. But that was one incident where there were more people than just one. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but I am saying, though, is at that moment. At that moment, man, some people wanted, I mean, they wanted to hate a lot of people, and you didn't know how far it was going to go. I mean, you didn't know. At the moment it happened, is Joe Paterno going to coach, or is he not going to coach? Well, he didn't coach the next game.
No.
You know, and he played Nebraska. I mean, and you didn't know all the people involved and what was going to happen. In fact, you know, they even went the other way with Penn State. They said, hey, you, it might be a death penalty, but you're definitely not going to play any bowl games. No way. Well, hey, that stuff's kind of changed.
Well, and Joe didn't get due process.
No.
Overwhelming.
But they did change the Penn State rule, and they go, hey, maybe that was a little too severe. Yeah. Hey, we're going to let you play in a bowl game now, because that's what's really happened. Don't you agree, Doug, that over time, it healed itself a little bit for the media, and then NCAA steps in and goes, okay, hey, maybe we gave you too many sanctions here. We're going to back off. You're going to get your scholarships. We're going to let you play in a bowl game now. And, I mean, I'm not saying it's the wrong decision, but I am saying at the time, people wanted something real severely done.
Oh, yeah, and that's the way it is in society now. Yep. Quick reaction. Settle down for just a little bit.
Yes.
And let's let all the facts come out.
That's what you're saying exactly.
Hey,
that's
lynch
exactly.
mob.
Yes.
Lynch mob. Take it back a step. Well, this was not exactly how we intended for the show to start today, but I think it's good discussion. And I don't want to just throw it over to Wes Burnt, the golf coach. So we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back with some sports talk, some more fun. We're going to talk about the Loper golf team. We're going to talk about some of the new kids on the golf team. We're going to talk with Pat Hardy out at the Iowa City Press Citizen. Bob Jensen, always, we're going to bring some lighthearted high school football talk. We've had some great games already and more coming up this week. So stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
Listen, just wanting to lose weight for summer isn't going to get you into that killer bikini shape. You've got to make it happen. There's no better or faster way to do it than with Complete Nutrition. Don't wait another second. Get into Complete Nutrition today to get over that weight loss hump. Our consultants will help you find the perfect weight loss product to kickstart your workout and to have more energy, burn more fat, and get into perfect shape for summer without logging extra hours at the gym. Come on, summer's here. So what are you waiting for? Check out any one of the three new weight loss products available now at Complete Nutrition. They're clinically proven to shrink fat cells and help you safely lose 21 pounds and burn difficult abdominal fat 12 times faster than with just diet and exercise alone. So don't wait. Come into Complete Nutrition and get started today.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island near Gordman's. Call 382-8663. And in Kearney on North 2nd Avenue. For free shipping, call 338-1348.
Complete Nutrition.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options, but which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
For today, we'll have cloudy skies. Can't rule out some spotty showers mainly through midday, those highs near 60. We'll have our winds gusty out of the north and northwest. From the Weather Eye Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Michael Caro. Currently 54.
We're gonna party like it's the end of the world. We're gonna party like it's 2012.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug due to Jim Langan with you on a Wednesday. Starting next Wednesday, folks, we're back into our Husker lunches at Cunningham's. We'll be recapping the Fresno State game, getting you ready for what was supposed to be the most highly anticipated game of the year, Miami of Florida. I'll be interested to see how the table turns next week. Nebraska fans are waiting for this Miami team, University, to come to Lincoln for decades, and they're finally going to be here, and it doesn't seem like it's going to have near the hype as it should. Miami won't come in undefeated. Hopefully Nebraska will, but starting next Wednesday, we'll be back at Cunningham's. Right now, it's time for our Loper Link, brought to you by CharterWest National Bank of Kearney. You have the reasons, they have the loans. See Russ Smith today at CharterWest National Bank. We'll go over all of the UNK sporting news in a moment, but we start with golf as head coach Wes Burton, his crew, is back from some weekend activities, Monday, Tuesday activities, actually, and Coach, thanks for coming in. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having us.
This is not golf weather today. We're getting this is not what golfers want to see. I know some people are saying, "Woo, this is so nice," and they're crazy. But it's a fall season where you try to get ready for spring, and some of these things do count a little bit too.
Yeah, no, these even the tournament this last couple of days was important. It's not nearly as important as conference, but the fall tournaments and the spring tournaments are basically way the same when you get into conference play. So yeah, it's important to play well right off the bat.
Let's start with the men. A lot of good vibe coming off last season, but as we talked this summer, when Michael Colgate qualified for the Division II national championships, and then all the other tournaments that he qualified. That weren't a direct connection to UNK, just amateur golfing. He's redshirting. You've put out a men's team that's collegiately very young, very inexperienced as far as tournament rounds.
Yeah, sure. And not just from a freshman standpoint, and we did have five incoming freshmen and one JUCO transfer, but some of the guys that really had never played in varsity tournaments they qualified for this last tournament. And, we only had two players that had varsity experience in our last tournament, so Just trying to get those guys going and, you know, trying to get the guys that stayed back home to start playing better, too.
And for the fans that maybe don't know what we're talking about, explain the situation with your golf team and Michael and where you're at coming into this season.
Well, you know, Mike's going to redshirt, and that's, you know, honestly, I'm really happy about it. It's going to hurt us, you know, short term, but he's going to get better throughout the next year, and he'll keep working harder. And, you know, just try to get other guys to get experience, I think will be good long term. You know, I actually think by the end of the year we'll be back kind of where we were last year. But 2 years from now, we should be really good with Mike coming back. And, you know, even 3 years from now, I think we'll even be better.
There will be a NCAA regional as well here in a couple of seasons that Mike, if all pans out that you want, you kind of that's a long-range goal, but it's still something that's already out there on the horizon.
Sure. I mean, with us hosting the regionals, that's a really big thing. It makes it pretty easy, gives us quite a home course advantage. I don't want to say easy to get to nationals, but it sure helps us out.
The team this week played at the Lincoln Invitational down in Camdenton, Missouri, at the old Kinderhook Resort. Jimmy, all those places are hills or old, or they've got some kind of name in their course name when they go out and play. We don't play those kind of courses.
Yeah, I told you I played it. You weren't here. You took a vacation, but I went to Fort Collins and played the Fort Collins Country Club, and I had a lot of sixes on my scorecards, and they were par four holes. And it was such an old course, and the fairways and the trees were huge. And I'm playing this, and thank God we didn't play the back tees, you know, because I'm looking up there, and I mean, it said par four, four furlongs.
Oh,
you know, I mean, they didn't even put it in yards. It was so far.
But Wes Burnt, UNK golf coach, with us. It looked like after the first round, the kids did play a little bit better on the men's side.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, we had a really, really bad first round. That kind of shot us out of the tournament. But, you know, second round, I was really impressed with how they bounced back. And third round, even, it was just playing a lot tougher. We ended up seventh overall, two shots out of six. And then it's crazy. You have 930-some shots, and two shots, you know, decides a place. So, you know, I wasn't too excited how we played originally, but, you know, it could have been a lot worse, I guess.
Connor Altman paced you. Just tell us about Connor's performance and then your team that you've got right now.
I was really impressed with Connor. You know, he played he's our third man last year. A lot of maturity. He's really starting to grow up. He hit two drivers in 54 holes there. So, you know, that takes some self-control to not, you know, bust out driver even. You know, he took a 9 on his second hole yesterday, still shoots 78. So, you know, there's some resilience there and, you know, a lot of maturity and self-control there.
Who are some of the other kids that are looking to get in the mix this fall and into next spring?
Well, we've had, you know, we have a senior, Alec Anania. You know, he struggled a little bit. Max Rutter was, you know, somebody that also played for us last year. Dan Bonnell is another one. And, you know, those guys need to, you know, start playing a little better and give us a chance. But I'm comfortable if we brought, you know, to the last tournament, too. We just need to play a little bit better.
Give me a quick thought on the women as you're still trying to, as that team is trying to maybe get a little bit more depth. They finished 10th out of 12 down in Olathe, Kansas.
You know, they're kind of the same situation with us. You know, got some new faces, and, you know, just I think, you know, Coach Mayo is just trying to figure out, you know, what they have, and, you know, they're trying to get it. They have a new top five probably every week, so, you know, trying to figure out who's going to play for them and get some consistency.
I know we've talked about this quite a bit, the challenges of recruiting quality golfers to any place in this part of the country. But some folks are doing it. Some success on the men's side has brought in some kids. You're starting to see that a little bit. What about where we're at with recruiting right now?
Yeah, it's tough. You know, especially we have some schools that we play against in the MIAA that can just flat out offer a lot of money, you know, to players. And so we kind of have to figure out, you know, how to do that. The nice thing is when you get the players here, they love Kearney. They like our facilities, and, you know, that's a big thing.
And last minute here with Wes Burnt, UNK golf coach. You are at home with the men Monday and Tuesday. The women will be heading out to Shadron on the 22nd, but you got a big tournament coming up?
Yeah, we're hosting the next week out at Owari Dunes, and it's kind of cool to come out and, you know, watch the guys. I don't know if the casual fan understands that you can come out and watch a college event, and, you know, you don't have to follow around somebody every day and walk 5 miles. You know, you can sit on a par three and watch groups come through, and that's entertaining as well.
Jimmy, he mentioned you don't have to hit driver all the time anymore. Is that because the courses are supposed to be longer, but some of these that you guys play on haven't really been re-upped or redeveloped to lengthen these? Is this just equipment and kids, or are you just seeing that's the way the game is taught these days?
Both. I mean, I say Connor didn't hit any drivers, but he also hits 3-wood 330. So, you know. But it's course management, too. You know, if you got a 440-yard hole, you know, most people would have to hit driver. But, you know, when you're hitting your 3-wood even 280, you know, it's you might have bunkers starting at 300, and you just don't want to hit it as far. It's just smarter not to bring that trouble into play.
You course manage, Jim?
Well, you know, I mean, not really, because I don't hit it that far anymore. But you made a good point. I think at Metal Arc number 8 is a good example of that, where, you know, if you hit something and you get a hold of it real good, you're just going to end up yourself in trouble. If you play back a little bit, you can still have a nice 7-iron or something into it if you just, you know, play it that way. So that's, I think that explains that a little bit. And, you know, and there's other holes in the United States that are similar to that, that you got to look at the whole picture and go, hold it. Unless I can't, you know, because I see these pros. They can drive some of these par fours.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but they don't do it if there's too much trouble around there. If there's out of bounds here, trees on this side, they don't even take that risk if they're ahead. But if they're, you know, if they're behind, hey, this is a good time for me to take a chance to get back in this.
Well, it's a great risk-reward sport. Yeah. And Wes, what else coming up this fall do you guys have?
We're going to Northeastern, and then we'll also play the Nebraska Intercollegiate and St. Joe at St. Joe Country Club. So, you know, after next week, we'll kind of have a little bit of a lull, but we finish back-to-back, really important tournaments. So, you know, hopefully we can kind of figure out where we need to be.
Well, hopefully the weather cooperates and the kids have some good rounds here this fall and set themselves up nicely for the spring. Wes, thanks for giving us some time here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We'll chat again soon.
All right, thanks for having me.
That's UNK men's golf coach Wes Burnt joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, part of our Loper Link. Let's take a look at what else is going on with the Lopers. We mentioned Tervell DeLogne, former wrestler, competing over at the FILA World Championships, had an outstanding tournament, was ranked 16th in the world, finished third, takes the bronze medal, the second time in the world that he has picked up the bronze medal. For the volleyball team, they have moved from 9 to number 6 in the country in the first Division II poll. Aaron Seeley, the setter, has been named the Conference Specialist of the Week with an outstanding 4-0 weekend. She was also named to the Fall Classic All-Tournament team with Bailey Sokolowski and Kelly Carver, who had an outstanding tournament to start things off with her Loper season. Also, the football team will be at home. The home opener tomorrow is against Washburn. Kickoff is at 7 o'clock. Lopers, Coach Morris told us yesterday, he was fairly pleased, about as pleased as you could be in a loss. Loved the way his defense played. They're going to have to get the offense cranked up a little bit more, but when you're playing Northwest Missouri State, not many people have got the offense cranked up. Ran it fairly decent, but as he said, Northwest ran about twice as many plays in the game. So now they get ready tomorrow for Washburn at 7 o'clock. Soccer team, they start with a tie and a loss over the weekend. The Lopers will be home tonight with a Wayne State coming in. So Wayne State comes in tonight for a women's soccer, and that gets underway at 7 o'clock at Foster Field. So football, volleyball, soccer, we talked golf. The cross-country team is off this week, and the tennis team will be heading out to Pueblo, Colorado this weekend. That's our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank Kearney, offering all types of loans from FHA, VA, RD, and conventional home loans, and for seniors, the reverse mortgage loan. You have the reasons they have the loans at Charter West National Bank. Pat Hardy of the Iowa City Press Citizen and Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep when we come back.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
Hi, this is Michelle Henke, Executive Director of the United Way of South Central Nebraska, and I invite you to get connected. In an effort to increase connections and relationships between local agencies and community members, the United Way of South Central Nebraska offers an online system called Get Connected. You simply log on to unitedwayscne.org to start your journey. Get Connected is an amazing tool for finding resources, events, and volunteer opportunities. For details, call us at 402-461-8412.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service. From seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
I had never even owned a furnace or an air conditioner before, so it was brand new to me, and they trained me, not just by sending me out with them, but also I have those resources to talk to people. I like to think of it, when I show up to a house, it's not just me with my 5 years of experience showing up there, but it's all the years of experience of all the Texas Anderson Brothers showing up at that house as resources that I can use. Without the training from Anderson Brothers, I would not be able to do the work that I do today.
Regardless of age or experience, start a new career with a call to Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth on this Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, tomorrow is Fantasy Football Day. Luke Hoover of RotoWire will be answering all of your fantasy football questions now that Week 1 is in the book. Help you set your lineup. Always tweet us and email us your questions. Thursday night football now, almost the entire season. And so we've got Baltimore and Pittsburgh tomorrow. You might have questions right off the bat about that. Love to hear from you. Tweet us, email us, or Facebook us your questions for Luke Hoover coming up tomorrow. Brought to you in part by Cunningham's. If you're tired of the same old lunch routine, then forget the ordinary and head to Cunningham's, where every Wednesday their lunch special is 8 delicious wings for only $5. Cunningham's has more than just the wings as well. They've got great sandwiches, pizza, salads, an extensive menu. The skewers are always outstanding, and their appetizers are more than just appetizers. Usually you get a Husker rib. That's a meal right there, but it's listed under the appetizers. Daily specials are there for you, and as we said, we'll be back with our Husker lunches starting next Wednesday. Happy hour from 3 to 6, where Big Ass Beer are only $3.50. Well drinks, $1.50 during happy hour, and entertainment every weekend as well. Don't forget, you can watch the NFL, you can watch the Huskers, and you can enjoy your time. Loper fans love Cunningham's as well on 23rd Street, downtown Kearney, on the north side of the bricks at Cunningham's. Checking some of the other day's sports, Royals didn't play well yesterday and lost. That hasn't happened a whole lot. They probably had an opportunity to win, and Detroit right now is playing well. And so playing well versus not playing well, you don't even have to look at the scoreboard in that situation. So now they're tied. And again, for Royals fans that are a little worried, as I said before, you can lose two in a row, just don't lose three in a row. Get the win today against Detroit. You're a game up. You come home for six. You're in good shape. Besides, on September the 10th, who wouldn't have taken the Royals tied for the lead and in the wild card race? I'd take that.
Yeah,
they haven't blown anything.
No, I mean, they had Verlander and Scherzer going for Detroit. So, I mean, those are the two pitchers that are, you know, the guys that going in, the Cy Young type of pitchers. And, hey, you know, Doug, did you watch the game yesterday? Did you watch it?
Part of it, because I was doing volleyball. I just saw the end of it.
Alex Gordon hit a ball. With a runner.
Two on.
Yeah, you saw it. And the ball was foul, probably about the size of this microphone. You know, and that was the difference in the ball game. That one pitch, it really was, because if that's a home run, and it's fair 6 inches the other way. In fact, Scherzer thought it was a home run when he let it go. You could see his reaction, and so did Gordon. It just spun to the right. So, yeah, it was disappointing. But, you know, boy, I'll tell you what, you hope it doesn't come down to that game, because it looks to me like Seattle. We got to hope Seattle loses. You know, there's two people you got to have to lose. You need Detroit to lose, and you need Seattle to lose, because it looks like it's going to get down to that area, or, you know, or the Royals are going to miss the playoffs again.
Interesting last night as well,
because I caught part of the television Royals play-by-play and part of the radio play-by-play. And a key moment in the ninth inning, the Royals get the first two guys on against Joe Nathan. So it's 4-2, you're down. Nobody out. Two on. They go get their two fastest guys and put them on base. And Alex Gordon strikes out on a 3-2 slider. Great pitch. Oh, good at bat. He just wasn't. You're just not going to hit that slider. And then they make the switch for the pinch runner. And on TV, they're talking about, well, they may be thinking about going double steal here, and a single ties the ball game, because that's kind of where they're at in the lineup. They want to keep out of a double play. I'm not sure if Butler was coming up or if a, I mean, he didn't, but they wanted to keep out of a double play possibility. And then on the radio in the post game, I think it was Fiziot going, you know, a horrible base running move at second because Dyson got picked off. I don't know why you'd be stealing third in that situation. I mean, two totally different philosophies. The TV guys pegged before it happened that they were going to try the double steal, and the radio guys either disagreed or had, I don't want to say no clue, but they didn't even think about that possibility. Nonetheless, you go strikeout, picked off at second, and then Salvador Perez, you could have thrown it into the dugout, and he was going to swing at it. So that's the way the game ended. 6:05 tonight on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, as they will wrap up their series, Royals taking on the Tigers. So there you go. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, going to join us momentarily here to talk a little about high school football here on the Doug and Daddy Show. While we wait for him, let's take a look at our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Do you agree with Penn State's postseason eligibility being restored? That was our question yesterday. 50% said yes, 38% said no, and the other 12% said all the sanctions should have been lifted. Right now we ask you, which American League team not currently in the playoffs has the best chance to make it? You can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. Seattle's a half game out. Everybody else is 4.5 games back. I'll take Seattle. What do you think? Toronto, Cleveland, and the Yankees. The Yankees are sliding back. They're losing ground quickly.
I actually think Seattle, they've got a tough schedule with the Angels and the A's, so they do have a tough schedule. The Royals are probably going to lose that game to Cleveland that they're down 4-2. They don't have a final on that.
Yeah.
But the Royals have to play at Cleveland. If Cleveland's still alive, I don't like the Royals' schedule. I like the Royals there for a while, but now I don't like their schedule very well. You know, they're playing some teams that can still compete and play baseball. I do not like where the Royals are at.
And front page of ESPN.com right now, the national question is if the Royals will make the playoff. That's their Sports Nation question. And Ned Yost right now, Jerry Krasnick has written a story. If the Royals make the postseason, skipper Ned Yost will be a hero. And if they blow it, and the headline says, why Yost deserves a chance. Again, I think way too much credit good and way too much bad, because I think he was a week away from losing his job this year.
Yeah, well, yeah, I don't know if he was a week away, but I do know this, that they haven't made it for 29 years. They do not hit the ball very well. You know, they pitch it well. They play really good defense. That's where they're winning their games. They just do not score runs very well, so it'd be tough to manage that team.
It's time now for this week's high school football preview on the Doug and Danny Show with Bob Jensen of Huskerland Prep Report.
He's got game.
Bob Jensen, week 3, high school football. Jimmy Langan is in today. Robert, how are you this morning?
You know, I was pretty good until you got to that last sentence, actually.
Thanks a lot, Bob.
No, I'm just saying, Langan, that has brightened my eyes. I've had as I told Jeffrey moments ago, I've had a somewhat harrowing moment this morning, and it's just good to take a deep breath and find I'm on the air with a couple of real pros.
Did you fall down, have a car wreck? Do you want to share?
I feel like I did fall down and perhaps was run over. But the bottom line is, all is well that ends well.
Okay.
So that's it. That's it, really. If I start, I won't stop. So we need to talk some high school football.
Bob, I'm the co-host, but I'm going to start it off with two things right now. I'm going to start off with two things, and I want you to go ahead and take it from there, all right?
Okay.
The first one is Amherst Axtell, and the second one is North Platte being 2-0.
Yeah, Well, let's take them in reverse order. I think I'm speaking to the masses here when I say I am just so happy for Bernie Madison. Bernie has most people know the former Kearney Catholic coach, and he's just been in a terrible spot at North Platte. They simply were just out of football players. There's a little ripple in the water. He's got some younger kids that are going to be really good, and he's got some juniors that are playing right now. And they got a playmaker, Shane Mock, who we featured in the football preview, kind of a kick and a rock over so people could know a little bit more about that kid. He is an extraordinary athlete, tremendous dual-threat quarterback. He made the game-winning play the other night. And it's awesome that North Platte is 2-0. We'll find out if Pinocchio's a real boy this week with Kearney. But, this has been tremendous. And, North Platte is a lot like Kearney and Grand Island. You know, football, if you win at football at the high school in those three towns, you can write your ticket. Bernie's guys are 2-0, and if they win this one, there's no telling when the party will end. Of course, with Bernie, I don't know if it ever ends, but that's another story. And as far as your Amherst Broncos go, Langan, I agree with you 100%. You know, this has been kind of a ticking time bomb. You've got a lot of athletes on that team. They paid a pretty heavy price early in their career. A lot of those kids played not only when they were young, but when they were pretty small. Well, those kids have grown up, and in eight-man, you got to score points, and they've got a whole bunch of skill players. If they do have a couple of new faces in the offensive line, and those kids are going to have to, be average or better. If they're average or better, Amherst is going to score 35, 40 points a game, and they're certainly going to take care of Axtell, and we'll go from there.
Bob Jensen, Husker Land Prep Report, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. One of our radio games last week was top game in eight-man, Blue Hill and Bruning Davenport Shickley. That was back and forth. And some of these eight-man teams, they're either playing top 10 teams like 4 weeks in a row, or they're playing nobody. And BDS definitely isn't playing nobody. They come off Blue Hill, and then they get Giltner this week.
Well, you're right, Doug. I mean, when I read those eight-man schedules, and you start, toying around with the top preseason top 10, and you kind of try and calculate a win total and all that sort of stuff, you look at their schedule, and I don't want to say it's punitive, but some of the best teams, certainly in our listening area, are some of the best teams in the state. And you throw a Falls City Sacred Heart into the mix, and you've got quite a little Donnybrook going on there. As far as BDS goes, I know I've probably beat this horse to death, and I am not a Norder, okay? I have no Norder blood in me, nor have I married into the Norder family. But I will say one more time, Grant Norder is one of the best clutch athletes in small school sports, and especially at football. The other night, I'll be honest, for most of that game, I don't think BDS had any reason to be in the ball game, except Blue Hill kept fixing it, so they were. And I was standing right there, minding my own business, when Norder scoops up the fumble. Sam Christensen gets a hit. There's a fumble. He picks it up and then weaves his way. Everything's going to get compared to Abdullah's run now, but it kind of looked like that. He's bobbing and weaving all the way down the sideline. I thought he was done a couple, three different times. Gets in the end zone and gets BDS back in the game, and then late completes the long touchdown pass to win it. And BDS Giltner is going to be a lot of fun. I'm fairly certain the players at Giltner remember last year's season opener when they got beat by BDS, the first time they've been beaten in the regular season since 2007. So that could add an additional layer of excitement. But people that go to that game are going to get to see Norder play quarterback for BDS and Ben Henricks play quarterback for Giltner, and they're going to get their money's worth.
I'm going to start hitching my wagon here to a new team that I guess I didn't expect, and I think this will even surprise you, Robert Jensen, joining us here from Huskerland Prep Report. We are doing our selections again in the Hastings Tribune and having some fun with the guys from Hastings. And obviously, over the last 5 years, the Doug and Daddy Show reigns supreme. But
yeah, without a doubt, yeah. And all this time, I thought it was looked. I thought they were going on looks, but they're going by picks.
Yeah, because looks bottom of the pile, right there with Mike Will. I picked Hastings High to beat Sydney. Whatever it is they did at Scott's Bluff has convinced me that this team that went 1-8 and has struggled the last couple of years will have a good season. And I know they've got some tough competition, but I'm picking them to beat Sydney. How can they do it?
Well, just replicate last week's first half. I had heart palpitations just listening to the account of it. I mean, 700 yards combined in the first half. Are you kidding me? 69 points. I mean, that was just insane. And here's the thing that gets me about Hastings, and to answer your question, just keep scoring. One thing I firmly believe, especially in high school football, truly bad teams can't score. I mean, they might be able to squeak out some wins, some 12-8s and 18-14, whatever. But you start scoring 30 and 40 points on more than one occasion, you have got to be taken seriously. And I don't know. First of all, I think that's an awesome play. That's the kind of deal, you know, you hit a couple picks like that, dude, as you know, and you lap the field. Okay?
Bang.
You know, really, I mean, but that is a great upset pick. I mean, that's what it would be. I mean, you can't say that you can't expect that Hastings is going to win that ball game. I mean, Sydney is Sydney's a program that's a team that's becoming a program. We talked about that earlier. But man, I tell you what, that was just it was really exciting. I was really happy for those kids at Hastings. I mean, so like I say, everybody plays for something. And we're going to crown six state champions, seven if you count six man, which does count. But everybody else is playing for something else. And surely the kids at Hastings, the coaches at Hastings, are playing for self-respect and bringing the program back. And what they've done so far has been a tremendous step in the right direction. And Lord knows if they find a way to beat Sydney, they're most of the way home.
We're talking with Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report here. Let me ask you one other game, and then we've got a couple more that Jimmy's got questions on. Intriguing, Gothenburg, Grand Island Central Catholic. This now, early in the season, becomes a little bit more meaningful to see, because now that we just have 16 teams in the playoff, this, I think, is much more important than it would have been a year ago.
That's a legit point. I mean, not that I'm surprised that you brought one up, but that's a legit point. I mean, you take a the Gothenburg losing to Holdridge and Holdridge turn around and losing, Central Catholic having some problems with Broken Bow, who is going to turn out to be better than a lot of people thought. It does. There's some stakes in this game, and I don't know. I tell you what, I still like Gothenburg. I like Gothenburg. I think that Gothenburg's going to win that ball game. But Zach Wolf is a tremendous fullback for Gothenburg, and I think he kind of gets overlooked. Well, I know he does. He gets overlooked because he's, quote-unquote, only a high school football player and not a Division I creature like Tanner Borkhardt, who's made national headlines all summer. But, you know, if I'm starting a high school football team, I would take Zach Wolf to play running back for me, and I'd be happy with that.
Hey, Bob, real quick, one thing. I don't want to forget and mention it, but tell me what you know. What I heard was Holdridge and Lexington played, and they played their 94th time they played. They played 94 years in a row, and Holdridge went to C1. And they had to call the NSAA and get permission to play this game. They did this before they came out with the schedules, of course. You know, today we really want to play each other and continue this rivalry. And the NSAA said, yes, we're going to go ahead and let that go. Do you know anything about that, or is this the first time you've heard about it?
Well, that wouldn't necessarily surprise me, Langan. I mean, you know how scheduling's done, and sometimes you've got to class change things. Things can get a little sticky, but yeah, I mean, how do you not permit somebody to play their 94th game or whatever? I don't know much about that. I do know that I'm really glad, I think we mentioned that last week, that Holdridge opens with three of the quote-unquote old Southwest Conference teams, And I don't know. That's just a lot of fun. In its heyday, in its original heyday, that was a tremendous conference, as a lot of people know. So many great teams and athletes, and it's just fun to look down at the look in the paper, look on the TV, and see Holdridge against Ogallala, Holdridge against Lexington, Holdridge against Gothenburg, like it's been. So that's good. Good on the NSAA. For having the common sense to allow a game like that, and then good for the people on both sides that want to keep it going.
Well, let's get to our rapid-fire segment here with Bob Jensen so we can let him get back to his day job from Huskerland Prep Report. Eight man, some intriguing games, especially with Medicine Valley Overton coming down to the wire last week. Now Elwood, who some people believe can be a top-10 team, goes to Med Valley, which is almost an impossible place to win when Med Valley is a playoff team. Then I saw Kennesaw destroy Lawrence Nelson last week after they turned it over multiple times against Exeter Milligan. They go to Overton. And then you also kind of like the Bertrand-Myrna game. Give me a quick thought on those three.
First of all, I love Kevin Malbrick. To a lesser degree, Fast Eddie down there at Elwood. My boys, they've got themselves a football team. Zach Hackbart is one of the great underknown diamond in a rough type players in eight man. He is just a tremendous dual threat quarterback. He went off last week, and he's going to have to do something like that if they're going to beat Med Valley, who's got Chase Barthel. And again, those are two of the top eight man quarterbacks. That should be a lot of fun. I got a feeling Elwood's going to win that ball game. Kennesaw came back from the dark side last week and got real well against a real young Lawrence Nelson team. I did catch a bit of your masterful call of that game due to Overton. You know, Overton lost a lot of talent the last couple of years from graduation. I don't know. I personally did not expect them to beat Medicine Valley. I thought that was a real good win, especially showing some guts late to win it the way they did. Overton at home is tough, but I still believe in Team Snitzler. I think Kennesaw's going to win that. And then Bertrand's beaten Myrna the last 2 years, and they're going to play again. Bertrand, with the younger kid, is a tremendous player. Myrna's got this Trent Geiser, who was a 1,700-yard rusher as a sophomore, who missed last year with a broken elbow, which is a weird injury. He got hit in the elbow with a helmet. He's back. Myrna's good. They're at home. I don't know. I would like Myrna to win that game, but I think that's going to be one of the best ball games. A lot of points scored in that one.
And when Ord was having a good season here a couple of years in a row, we did bring them up because they were playing a lot of teams right here in our backyard. Central City, let's give them their due. They've had a rough go, not necessarily because of on the field, but they have gotten off to a good start here, and they held off the Chanticleers last week. And that doesn't matter that they played Ord, but it was an exciting game, as you wrote about. And they play a tough Columbus SCOTUS team this year to see how real they are.
Well, I got to tell you, I actually got home. That's one thing about the spread. You know, it takes about 7 hours to play a football game. And so I was able to actually get home and watch the last couple minutes of that. And I did write about it, and to make it as short as I can, 3rd and 8, leaking oil. Ord is coming back. They look much better, much stronger than what Central City does. Central City is facing a 3rd and 8, and instead of going for 8 yards, they went for the whole thing. Mitch Carlson, who threw for school record 329 yards and 5 touchdowns, threw a 54-yard touchdown pass to a kid named Brady Bamesberger. They are the toast of town. It was homecoming win. And, you know, all teasing aside, you know, the Chanticleers, that is a proven winning program, which is something that Central City has not been most of the last couple decades, to be honest. So to get a win like that, as much as the first one was good, that was a huge win for that program. And as far as SCOTUS goes, that's kind of like the Hastings-Sydney deal. SCOTUS is the clear favorite in this game. But I tell you what, Central City is, again, it's just like Hastings. You can't be a subpar team and score 40 points a game. And Central City's spreading the ball around. Carlson throws a nice ball. He's got a bunch of really good receivers. It's more than just one kid. I am going to be fascinated. Scotus has thrown, I think, three passes in two games, and Central City's maybe run it three times in two games. So somebody's style is going to win Friday night at Columbus.
And be careful if you play Spalding in six mana. We can't get too deep into that. But they play one, and they beat Silver Lake. So now Hyannis is number one, and they get them this week. And then Cody Kilgore is right around the corner. So best of luck there. Bobby, have you decided where you're going? I mean, you know, Kimball's playing at Mitchell, but I don't know if you're going there. What do you got?
You know, Kimball at Mitchell, always a consideration. Sioux County, I think, is home. They play at 2. That'd be awesome. Actually, I don't know. There's a real good chance we're going to wind up somewhere around the Metro. I'd like to see Elkhorn play. I'd also like to see Scott play. They play Crete this week. Another possibility is right there in your backyard, because those two games we talked about, Medicine Valley, Overton, those are also really appealing games. So something along that line would be a pretty good bet, I would think.
Well, pack a lunch, my friend. We'll talk to you again next week.
I don't miss many meals, dude. So thanks for the advice, though.
Take care, my friend.
Okay.
Bob
Jensen.
Talk to
you next week.
Husker Land Prep Report, always the best. You can follow them online or get subscribed today for their weekly publication at Husker Land Prep Report. And we are here in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac and Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, where there's service and parts specials right now. Chevrolet Buick Cadillac doing a mail-in rebate special on select tires. $100 rebate on Bridgestone, Continental, Goodyear, Hankook, and Pirelli. $50 on BF Goodrich, Dunlop, Firestone, General, and Michelin. Chevrolet also has a price match guarantee. When you buy a select set of tires and find a better price within 30 days, they'll refund the difference. Find out more at thinkmidway.com. Midway Chrysler Store also does a price match. So, you know, what they're telling you is they guarantee they're the lowest and the best. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac, South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Sounds like our friends in Iowa are having all kinds of trouble. The rain last night flooded some of them out. Our buddy Pat Hardy is trying to get in his canoe and get to a phone, and we'll see if we can check up with him from the Iowa City Press Citizen when we come back.
Today, buyers need the OneRocky.com edge. Finding out first is what gives you the best chance of finding the right home. Kearney's best real estate website just got better with customized listing notifications sent right to your email. As soon as a new listing meeting your criteria becomes available, you'll be notified. Log on to OneRocky.com and get signed up now.
Yo, this is Rocky. My customized listing service is not junk email. We don't even collect data. It's just my way of putting you first in the hunt for the right home.
Put Rocky Geyser in your corner because he cares.
OneRocky.com.
Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products have been supplying Kearney, Grand Island, and Hastings with quality concrete and masonry supplies for a combined 140 years of experience, including the new showroom in Grand Island on West Highway 30. Stop in today and let the professionals help you enhance the beauty and the value of your home and business. Kearney Crete & Block and Christensen Concrete Products, building generations one block at a time.
The Kearney JCs are looking for a few good men and women. The JCs are a volunteer organization of young men and women 18 to 40 who improve themselves, their community, and the world around them. This Saturday, the Kearney JCs are holding the annual NFL punt, pass, and kick competition for boys and girls 6 through 15. Registration is free. Sign-up begins at 10 Saturday at Kearney Catholic. New JCs who volunteer for any event get their first-year membership for free. Doing good and having a good time doing it. That's the Kearney JCs. Check them out online at kearneyjcs.org.
Hastings Physical Therapy, the standard for excellence in one-on-one care, is proud to offer Hastings' first and only on-site aquatic therapy pool, featuring state-of-the-art heated therapy pool technology with private locker rooms. Providers to Hastings College, The Danger, and South Central Nebraska. Make us your choice when you need physical therapy. Open 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. and conveniently located next to Applebee's on Osborne Drive West. Visit HastingsPhysicalTherapy.com to tour all of our services or call 402-462-2665.
Assisted living. Is it about help with the daily needs of living or about getting more out of life? Is it about the services offered or the spirit in which help is given? At Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village, the difference is in a philosophy that everyone deserves to feel loved and valued. In fact, it's a lot more than assisted living. It's a little help from your friends. For more information on assisted living, give us a call at Good Samaritan Society Hastings Village or find us on the web at good-sam.com.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Getting ready for lunch. Try the Carney Chicken Coop, which is the original sports bar and grill. The best of both worlds, because a lot of places say they are sports bar and grills, but no one combines the best of both places like the Carney Chicken Coop. Lunch specials every single day from 11 to 4 on Wednesday. That's a turkey BLT inside for only $6.49. Maybe you can't get in quite that early. Maybe you are done with work early. Maybe you got the day off on a Wednesday. Work those weekends. Well, slide on in from 2 to 5.30, where appetizer specials are 2 1/4 and long necks and draws only 2 1/4. It's only at the Carney Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds, downtown Carney. Enjoy it with your friends. Watch your favorite sporting activities, from college and NFL football to the pennant race in Major League Baseball. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you. And it's a weird day here. Husker Harvest Days rained out. That's how hard it rained. They closed Husker Harvest Days today. I never, ever remember that happening in the history of the event. And they will go tomorrow, so just 2 of the 3 days. And I can only imagine what all the folks are doing with nothing to do today that had to be here for 3 days. Carney Chicken Coop. They've had a little rain apparently as well out in Iowa City. And Pat Hardy has been kind enough to not only give us some time on the Doug and Daddy Show, but to do it while he's trying to, I guess, get the canoe fixed out there. Pat, good morning. What's going on out there?
Well, I guess we had 4 inches of rain is what I've been told. I mean, it's been raining, it seems like, nonstop for about 2 days. Right now we do have a break, but there's no sun. It's still overcast, but yeah, I had a drain sprout that disconnected from my house, and all that water was going where it shouldn't be going. So I had to deal with that, but I'm hoping that we've seen the worst of it for this week. I haven't seen the extended forecast, but man, it's just been nonstop rain.
Well, if you see a white beard and an arc outside your house, I'd be worried.
Should I jump on?
If there's two of you, pair it up and get ready to go. Well, Pat, we won't keep you too long, but we were to have Drew Ott on the show this week. He did not make an appearance at the press conference yesterday. Obviously, he's our backyard boy, coming off the biggest game of his collegiate career, and hopefully we can do it next week. But then delving into that a little bit deeper, we're listening to Kirk Ferentz, and I don't follow him on a day-to-day basis like you guys do. He seems to be very guarded when it comes to any off-field situations or injuries, and it sounds like on the horizon here that Brandon Scherff shouldn't be playing this week, and that Drew Ott, we just don't know what the severity is after the scooter incident. And I understand that at Iowa, this is, you know, I chuckled when I read it, but at Iowa, apparently that's what they do. Everybody's on a scooter at the University of Iowa, so that's not a weird occurrence. Kind of just tell us what's happened here the last couple of days.
Well, I think Brandon Scherff, I would be stunned if he played Saturday. Just common sense, you have a surgery that when you're playing within 5 days after having an incision, I just would be surprised. Drew Ott, I think, is going to play. Kirk made it sound like he was very fortunate, said he had some stitches, but he saw him in the building that morning, expected him to be at practice. It was business as usual. And Drew's really been one of the stories. I mean, his performance against Ball State was huge because defensive end was a question coming in. They felt good about their tackles, but Drew is really starting to emerge. He's in his fourth year. He's kind of built up the way they do here at Iowa, and he's really starting to play well, and that's been one of the storylines. But yeah, I think Drew will be there Saturday, but I would just be stunned if it's Brandon Scherff plays Saturday. And Kirk's just cranky because he doesn't like that stuff getting out. And what happened was, a newscaster from here who happens to be from Brandon Scherff's hometown, knows him personally, it sounds like, got the report and got it before Iowa could really react to it, and they don't like to be kind of derailed from their normal business-as-usual path. They like to dictate things instead of having things kind of surprised like that. That just kind of came out of nowhere.
Definitely, definitely understandable, but kind of on both sides, too. When you're the hometown boy, everybody wants to – sometimes it's easier to find things out, especially if you're an Iowa boy.
Well, the reporter's doing his job. Yeah. I mean, he's just doing his job, and I mean Iowa does have certain rules and protocol – what have you, but, I mean, this kid, he got Brandon to confirm it, that meniscus surgery, and like I said, it sounds like Brandon told him he hopes to be back by the Pittsburgh game, which would be next week, which I'm still thinking Purdue. I'm Purdue at the earliest, but then they have a break for a week after Purdue, then you get him after a long period to get completely healthy, then he's got those last 7 games he could play in. So it will be interesting to see how his progress goes.
Pat Hardy of the Iowa City Press Citizen joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. When we talked to Coach Ferentz at Big Ten Media Days, he made it sound that
Ott had intentionally wanted to work against Scherf in practice on a daily basis, not necessarily totally switching positions, but made sure that he went up against the best. Is that in case the scenario, and is that one of the reasons for his improvement?
Yeah, I mean, he's talked about that, and you might as well take advantage of it. You got to figure it's not going to get any more difficult than that. And Carl Davis did the same thing, and Carl says that's really helped him become one of the Big Ten's premier tackles. I think Drew Ott is just the latest example of what Iowa does. Nebraska didn't want him. They were looking at him. I mean, he had a couple other offers, but he was one of those marginal recruits that Iowa saw something in. They built him up, and now he's starting to fulfill that. And I think just the fact that he's in his fourth year, he's older than a lot of the players out there on the field now, and I just think you're starting to see him emerge as a real steady upperclassman performer for him.
Hey, Jim Langen here. Hey, when you said Nebraska didn't want him, I think maybe they passed on him. But,
well, they passed on him. They didn't offer him scholarship.
Right, exactly. And we've been known to do that. We had a kid that played at Chadron State that now is playing for the San Diego Chargers. So
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but hey, my question to you is, when I look at Iowa football and the success they have, more so, and maybe Minnesota falls in this same category, but the defense and not making mistakes is how you win football games. And when that is how you win them, that gets you into trouble sometimes when you play the Northern Iowas and you play people like that, because you're not going to be like an Oregon that can blow somebody out, or you're not going to be like a Baylor that can just blow these people out. You have to kind of play ball control and a little conservative, and these other games get close. Am I correct in this, or tell me if I'm barking up the wrong tree?
Oh, no, you're definitely right. I mean, the best Iowa teams have always been led by strong defense, but the one thing you did leave out is they've been able to run the ball. That's the story with this team. They haven't been able to run the ball yet. Nobody can figure out why. I don't think Northern Iowa and Ball State by the end of this year are going to be recognized for being premier defensive teams. I think Northern Iowa is going to be really good in their division. I'm still not sure about Ball State, but Iowa could not do their power running. Basically, they win by controlling the ball on the ground, limiting turnovers, solid kicking game, and solid defense. That's their formula for winning. Right now they have no kicking game. It's in shambles. The defense has been good. It did get exposed against you and I against the pass, but the running game for some reason has been non-existent, and that's not going to be helped with Brandon Scherf being out.
Who takes his place, Pat?
Well, they're saying Ike Betker. He was the one who replaced him in the game for the series he missed last week, but you could also, I guess, maybe if they wanted to relieve some of the pressure on Betker, who's only a redshirt freshman and a converted tight end, you could move him to right tackle and then move fifth-year senior Andrew Donald, who's got a lot of experience, to left tackle, since that's considered the blind side, kind of maybe the more important position. But Ike Betker is the one who did replace Scherf, and he's an interesting story. I think he may be their next great offensive lineman. What's kind of ironic about him is he's a defensive end quarterback from the same high school that Rosh Perschbacher went to, Cedar Falls, and now Perschbacher, the offensive lineman that they wanted so badly and missed on him, who's at Alabama playing guard, and now Betker, who they got as a tight end, is now possibly their heir apparent for Scherf at left tackle. I don't know. It just kind of shows you all the twists and turns that recruiting takes.
Pat Hardy, Iowa City Press Citizen. Last question/comment here. I picked Iowa on the show to win the North because of the schedule and because of the talent. But what made me hesitant was that when we have that type of an Iowa team, they always seem to underperform. It seems like they've underperformed in the first 2 weeks. How scared, how nervous is everybody going into an Iowa State game where, even though it's a rivalry, Iowa State has looked better in week two than week one? Your assessment of where the Hawkeyes are?
I think Iowa fans are more concerned that they'll let on, especially the Iowa State week. There's kind of this we're better than them mentality, even though Kirk's record is 7-8 against Iowa State. That kind of shows you the kind of rivalry it is. And I could see why somebody would pick Iowa to win the North. The schedule is very favorable, and I think you could argue the 2009 team did the exact same thing. They were lucky to beat Arkansas State, miracle to beat Northern Iowa, and yet they still won 11 games and rank as one of the best teams in school history. With Ferentz, it's just a week-by-week thing. You really can't use one game to say how it's going to impact the other. It's almost like each game, once it's done, he just completely forgets about it. My biggest concern with this team, the kicking game and injuries, and that was my biggest concern coming into this season, and it still is. They've lost their fullback. They lost an outside linebacker for the first two games. Scherf's out, and then the kicking game's just a mess. So we'll see. I've got them going 8-4, 9-3, but injuries could really change that.
All right, Pat, we hope everything's going well and the rain stops for a while so you guys can take care of business out there. We sure appreciate you squeezing us in, and nothing but good thoughts, buddy.
All right, gentlemen, thank you.
Take care. Pat Hardy, Iowa City Press citizen, trying to stay out of a mini flood back there at home, and filling us in on Drew Ott and Brandon Scherff and what's going on with Iowa. There's going to be more. I can tell, even though we're 4 years in, we're just it's way more Big Ten talk this year than I think we've had in a while, because I think there's some interesting storylines out there.
Boy, I'll tell you what, and the Big Ten right now, I mean, you've got to call it the way it is. Right now, this conference was trying to turn the corner and get some big roles and say, hey, we're good. We're one of the elite conferences. We are one of the elite groups right now. But, boy, I'll tell you what, just the way the people have played, and Iowa in particular, they're 2-0. But, you know, they have not looked great, and they are one of the teams that we thought might be, you know, one of those teams that could win 10 or 11 games, Doug. And it's just, if playing the way they are and they're kicking game and not be able to run the ball, you know, they have to. If you can't run the ball, then you got to punt. So if you can't do either one, you're giving up a lot of yardage.
Well, that is indeed the case. There's no doubt about it, and we will see how things play out. It would, if they lose to Iowa State this weekend, yikes, that's all I can say. Hey, folks, if you're thinking about a new Pivot irrigation system, now for a limited time, T&L Irrigation is offering their Harvest Special $5 per foot discount, which means you can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter mile long T&L pivot system. Not going to get a better deal than that, folks. You get decades of reliability with a T&L pivot system. So visit your local T&L dealer today or go online to TLIRR.com. TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. The Hastings College volleyball team has moved into the national rankings at number 18 in the country after their 9-3 start and beating a couple of nationally ranked teams. They will open conference play tonight as they travel to Doane. And anything else, Jimmy?
Well, the only thing I can say is when we're talking about these teams, do you know how bad Fresno's looked these first two games?
I know.
I mean, this team has looked absolutely. USC did not have to punt when they played them. Fresno was behind really bad. I think it was 31-7 at the half. You know, last week, you know, they have just played absolutely horrible. The spread is 10. Nebraska's favored by 10. And, hey, for you, this is what you love. 94% of the people are betting Nebraska in the United States.
No.
Just wanted to let you know that.
Damn it. See, you made me swear on the air, kind of. Is that even a swear word anymore?
Sometimes they're right. You know what I mean? Sometimes the public's right. You know, last year.
Because you know what? It's Wednesday.
All right.
We make our predictions Friday.
Uh-huh.
And I watched Big Red Wrap Up. They make their predictions online now. So I caught that this morning. Adrian Fiala and Blake Lawrence and Kevin Kugler. And I don't think any of them had Nebraska covered. I think Kugler had us by 10, and the other two had us by like 6 and 7 or 8 points. So they all have Fresno State covering. Sometimes I go with my gut. My gut thinks Nebraska is going to go out there and take care of business, even though everything is pointing towards Fresno covering. Home game, been embarrassed the first two. Nebraska didn't look good last week. Haven't necessarily done well in the non-conference road game. Everything pointing towards Fresno State being around at the end. But my gut right now, and that's 48 hours away from a prediction, my gut right now kind of likes Nebraska and kind of likes them big.
That's where I'm at on this right now. If you look at last year, they beat Rutgers first game of the year, 52-51. You wait till you see the scores from last year. Beat Hawaii, 42-37. I mean, you got to go back and look at the scores that Fresno had. Now, hey, in December when they played, it's cold outside and you can't score as many points. Temperature in Fresno, California, that day, 103 degrees, wind 6 miles an hour. And that's going to be a night game, but still.
It's going to be in the 90s.
Yeah, it's going to be extremely hot. But I don't know. I don't know if we'll have to punt. I don't know if we'll punt the ball. So one of our best players may not even get in the game.
Let's go to the Dead Popper inbox to wrap things up here. John in Kearney says, Doug, I would have to say I want Iowa undefeated when we play them. As bad as they played against Ball State, I would have to say Pitt could very well beat them. Your take. That's next week. It'll be their first road game. Thanks, John, for the email to the Dent Popper inbox, home of the Armor Lining. Stop by and see the gang at the Dent Popper. That was the game that all the Iowa people at Big Ten Media Days were worried about. They were worried about going to Pittsburgh and playing Pittsburgh. And Pittsburgh looked really good last week taking on Boston College. So you're going to be coming off a rivalry game. I think for Iowa's sake, I don't even know. You come out, you blow them out, you think you're really good, or you eke one out and know that you've got some work to do. Iowa get that 10-14-point win this week against Iowa State, then go out and take care of Pittsburgh. Don't trip up at Purdue. Then you've got a bye week. And again, there's just nowhere on this schedule until the last two games, which are both at home with Wisconsin and Nebraska, that you should lose, but you do have to obviously remain focused each and every week. I said this team obviously has the potential to start 10-0, and we'll see if that happens. It's hard for anybody to start 10-0, no matter how good you are. We do want to thank Pat Hardy of the Iowa City Press Citizen for taking some time with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, UNK golf coach Wes Burnt. Tomorrow, Luke Hoover among our guests to answer your fantasy football questions. Jimmy, I'll see you Friday for your predictions. I know you've been studying hard.
See you later.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.